welcome to Eclectic, the podcast about anything and everything youth ministry, you name it. I'm Rob Brower.
Anything and everything?
Anything and everything.
Wow.
Youth ministry.
I'm Scott Davis.
Thank you for that, Scott.
You're welcome, Rob.
Thank you for clarifying the opening.
Yes, anything and everything.
So we were going to say anything and slash or everything, but it just didn't flow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you weren't there in the production meeting.
Oh.
Yeah, JJ and I sat down and we decided that for this podcast.
Good old JJ.
Yeah, JJ. Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
Abrams. <All right. laughs> Sorry, producer. You get a producer credit now.
Yeah, whether you like it or not. Sorry.
He's like, I don't want it. Take it off my resume. Sorry, buddy. It's on there now.
We're not even a blip on his radar.
He might be a listener. We don't know.
Yeah, this is true.
We don't know. This podcast goes out to whomever God wants it to reach. It is. We're just tools. We're just a couple of tools.
To anyone and everything. Wait.
To anyone and everything. Whom, for, with, and here for, there
and
unto.
Or.
And slash or.
Hey, I have an idea.
What's your idea?
Let's talk youth ministry.
I don't know. We seem like we're always talking youth ministry. Maybe
Before you hit record, we were talking like crazy about TV.
About TV,
yes.
Yeah.
Because we like shows.
I've got a Phillips Magnum. Oh, no, TV shows.
TV shows.
I thought you were talking about TVs.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we were talking about the TV and how I broke mine
by
being on it.
Yes. Being on TV is not always a good thing.
No.
Especially if you weigh more than 200 pounds. Trust us on that one.
Oh, please, please.
So, are we continuing last week?
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a whole week. You want to refresh me and let me know what we were talking about?
Boy. So, we have been talking. So, we spent the last few weeks talking about ministry to millennials.
Such an issue. We've been talking about them for a whole month?
Yes.
Wow.
We must really love them.
Yeah. Yeah. Love them.
Yes.
We love them. And
love
so,
them. Yes.
Okay.
Can't get enough.
Can we finally bring some resolution to this millennial talk? I mean, let's just figure out what are we going to do with them.
Kind of where we ended with the last one was we were talking about the need to change our mindset, to quit being attractional and to shift toward being relationally engaging, to not market them, but to come alongside them and love them and get to know them and engage them in a relationship.
On that respect, did you notice that millennials are marketed to like literally all the time?
Yes.
You know, every app, every TV show,
I feel left out.
Yes, because you're not a millennial anymore.
I'm a 47-year-old.
47-year-old?
Yeah.
I'm a 41-year-old.
With a birthday just around the corner.
Really?
Yeah, it's only
happy birthday almost.
Thank you. It's only about 11 months away.
Wow, so close.
Yes, very close.
Man, yes. That's pretty cool.
Then I'll be a 48-year-old.
48-year-old, yes. I don't know if these are real words we're using here.
Well, they are now. I just spoke them into existence.
Man, that is awesome.
It's powerful.
Anything that has ever been created has been created twice. First in the mind, and then in the physical. I didn't make that up.
That was my brain just
blowing
up.
Pastor
right
used
there.
To say that all the time. And at first, I didn't know what he meant. I was like, what are you talking about? And then it kind of all came together.
I think that's what a lot of people are wondering right now. What are you talking about?
Yes. So, okay. So, to get serious about this, emerging adults.
Yes.
Rick Dunn, lead pastor of a very, you know, successful church in Knoxville at not just reaching millennials. And he was here at this church. We hosted a conference and got to pick his brain a little bit, got to hear him share his heart on ministry and not just ministry to millennials, but just ministry in general. And part of what he was saying is he's like, look, I'm not interested in attracting millennials to my church. I don't want to bring millennials to my church. I was like, what are you talking about? And then he wanted to say that, you know, it's about changing your heart and so that your mindset is that you want people to become a part of your mission, of God's mission of sharing the gospel and making disciples. And so that's what he coaches people to do. That's what he encourages people to do, trains them to do, and then releases them to do. And there comes a point. Our old executive pastor here, he used to have this thing where he said, like, this is how it has to happen. The first stage is that the older generation does while the younger generation watches and observes.
Yeah.
The next stage is the older generation does while the younger generation assists. Then the next stage is and this is where we get into trouble, because we rarely cross over this threshold. It needs to be the older generation assists while the younger generation does.
Yeah.
And then finally, we need to let go of it, and the older generation observes while the younger generation does. And that doesn't mean that the older generation doesn't have a place in the church. They do. But they need to realize that their place in the church is not necessarily doing the ministry. It's about pouring into the next generation.
Well, that becomes so that they a powerful ministry. Well, what I would do, what I would give to have some of our amazing senior adults take seriously my invitation to come down and just be in the youth ministry and just be grandparents to these kids.
Yes.
Just love on them.
Yes.
You don't absolutely. Have any other job. You don't, you know, if you want more, we can talk about it, but just come and get to know their names and love on them every week.
Yes.
That's all I want.
On Wednesday nights, we have whole family ministry here on the campus. We've got men's ministry out in the men's ministry portable, the man cave, we call that. We've got women's ministry in the sanctuary. We've got children's ministry in the children's wing. And the youth are over in our youth area. And what's awesome is we invite the community to come out, and there's something for everyone. Drop your kids off, the younger kids at the kids ministry. And then if you're the mom, go to the women's ministry. Dad goes to men's and drop your teens off with me. And what's awesome about that is everybody has a place. And every once in a while, men's ministry will get out earlier, and our senior pastor, Bill, will come over, poke his head into middle school ministry, and at the end of our time, we're playing games, and we're like, oh, what games are you playing? And I always invite him to join us, and he will. And we were playing that game Electricity, where everybody's on two teams that are all holding hands, you know, side by side, and the deal is at the front of the line, you're flipping a coin, and if it lands on heads, then the person in the front line has to squeeze the hand of the person next to them, and that travels all the way down like electricity to the end.
Right.
When that last person feels a hand squeeze, they have to run up to the front, and the first one to the front wins. Their team wins a point. Well, so Pastor Bill jumps into the game, and he's in the middle, and he goes, I wonder what'll happen if I just squeeze this hand. So he squeezes a hand for no reason, and that person comes bolting up to the front. And they're like, what happened? We traced it back, and we're like, did you squeeze a hand out? Did you squeeze a hand? Did you squeeze that? Well, Pastor Bill squeezed my hand. It's just hilarious, because he just becomes a kid and hangs out with these middle schoolers, and they love him for it.
Yeah, and so we're talking about changing how we approach reaching out to millennials or emerging adults.
Yes.
And that is a perfect example of the kind of thing that we do, whether it's playing a game or whatever, but engaging them on a real life level. Instead
meet them where they're at.
Instead of ministering to them, minister with them.
With them.
Build relationship with them.
Yes.
You don't have to be one to relate with one, to build a connection.
One of the places in our church that we see millennials kind of thriving is the coffee shop, volunteering in the coffee shop. Even our high schoolers are volunteering in the coffee shop next to somebody that is, one or two generations older than them.
Right.
It's really awesome to see someone's grandma working with a high schooler and a millennial in the coffee shop serving coffee.
And that's the way it really should be. That's what family is, right?
Absolutely.
Family, when families get together, for Christmas, for Thanksgiving, whatever, there are generations interacting with one another. And we've got to have that multi-generational connection on some level. So where would you say is a good place to start with this change in mindset of moving toward just trying to build a relationship instead of trying to market emerging adults?
Well, okay, so this isn't coming from me. This is coming from Pastor Rick Dunn.
Okay.
He says in this interview that Christianity Today did with him about the book that he co-authored, which is Shaping the Journey for Emerging Adults. And he says that, speaking to would-be mentors, he says the most significant thing that you can do in the life of an emerging adult is to show up. Show up with your weaknesses, your strengths, with who you are. Over time, that's really all it takes, but it's hard to believe that. People, particularly middle-aged men, feel inadequate. And I get that.
Yeah.
There are people that you ask, hey, can you come help in student ministries? And they think, man, there's all these stereotypes that jump into their head. It means I have to know the Bible. Like, I haven't been to seminary or Bible college. I don't. What if the kid asks me something? I don't know the answer. You know what? It's pretty cool. Yeah. You can just say, I don't know.
That's a really good question. Let's search that out together.
Let's search. You know, I love it when a leader comes to me and says, hey, Pastor Rob, we were having a discussion because after we do the large group teaching, we break off into by grades discussion groups. And I'll have somebody come up, and maybe it's the middle school group leader. She'll bring a middle school student with her and say, hey, Pastor Rob, so glad to see you. We've got a question. We were doing the discussion groups, and, you know, such and such here had a great question. Susie, why don't you go ahead and ask Pastor Rob your question? And Susie asked a question. And I go, that's a great question, Susie, and I give the answer. If I don't know the answer, I go, wow, that's really good. You know what? Why don't we go find Pastor Bill and ask him the question?
Keep moving,
you know,
up the ladder.
Well, and that's how it should be. Until
Well, your leader did a fantastic thing of not trying to slough it off and pretend that they knew something or whatever, but obviously did an, I don't know, let's go ask.
Yeah, and it communicates several things. Number one, it communicates your flawedness, your weakness, the fact that you're not perfect. And that in turn tells the person that's asking that you don't have to be perfect either.
Right.
That's not the expectation. And then it says, hey, I'm humble enough to say I don't know. Let's go ask somebody who does know.
Right.
And so that's teaching them that it's okay to go ask for help.
Yeah. Right? And a lot of times when we, especially when we're looking at ministry to millennials or emerging adults, we come at it. Well, one, we get intimidated because it's like, I don't know if I can relate to them. And so we think that we have to come with all of our stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole idea of just showing up with our weaknesses, our strengths, just with who we are, from that quote, it releases us from the pressures that we put on ourselves to be somebody that we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to show up. We tend to think we got to leave all of our weaknesses at home. No, just show up, everything. And don't hide the fact that you don't know this or that you're weak at this, that you're not great at this, because nobody's all of it. And just be with one another.
Yeah.
We do that with our friends.
We do. We do.
Why can't we do that with people that we just really want to reach with a heart for God?
Well, you know, the thing with our friends is we have something in common. We found that common ground. And what I love about the Acts chapter 2 church, it says that they had everything in common. And when I read that, and students have asked me this question, well, does that mean they really had everything in common? Literally, like they liked the same TV shows and they wore the same clothes and they had the same hairstyles? Well, maybe not. But what it means is when it comes to the essentials, the important things,
right,
they had that in common. Maybe this guy like hummus, maybe this guy don't like hummus. But
ooh,
they agreed that Jesus is the Christ and the Messiah, and the words that he had to say are important.
Yeah.
Right? And they believe that he died and rose for them and that he's coming again. And so sharing the gospel and making disciples are important things. We can agree on that. And that's all we need to have in common. The color of our skin, the type of car we drive, our socioeconomic class, our accents in which we speak. They can all be different. None of that matters. But if we have the essentials in common, we can go somewhere. We can move from there. And one of the things that Rick said in this article that they're doing in their church is that they're on Sunday mornings they're showing videos, somebody's video testimony. And the reason they're doing that, he says, is that he wants to focus on people's spiritual journeys because it's. They're trying to, he says they're about those two things, right? Advancing the gospel and making disciples. And he says by sharing with who they are and what they're doing, it's really lending itself to reproducing disciple makers. But he says the goal for every story that they show is that somebody sitting in the congregation would see that video and go, wait, this guy just shows up to youth group on Wednesday nights? Heck, I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that I can do that. Heart change is what it really takes to get
people
to start.
People begin
up
to realize, oh, I can do that.
I can do that.
Yeah,
ministry is not as difficult as a lot of people make it. And in fact, even in ministry, us vocational ministers, we make it more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah, and it's exciting to, you know, the whole idea of using videos is really smart too, because if you try to do that with live testimonies. Unfortunately, we work with time constraints.
We do.
And,
we do.
And working with videos, somebody in a live setting, especially when they're not used to speaking up front, they can kind of go off the rails. Even somebody with the right intentions or whatever, they can get a little nervous and they can find themselves kind of going off topic and they're off the rails.
Two guys doing a podcast could just get off topic and
that.
I mean,
never,
not us.
No.
Not
no,
us. Not us.
No, but other people.
Yes.
Yes. Who
yes.
aren't as seasoned
but
as
you
us.
Know, you asked me an important question earlier when we were talking about this article when I first shared it with you. when you read that statistic that, you know, Rick is pastoring a church of 5,000 plus in Knoxville, Tennessee, that 65% of which are age 35 or under.
Right.
And you said, man, I hope they're not trying to discount the those that are above 35.
Yeah, I have a sensitivity to that.
Yeah, yeah, and he didn't build a millennial church. That's not what he's saying. Right. He actually addresses that. If I could read a couple of paragraphs here.
Why, yes, yes, Rob, you can.
Why, thank you. it says, we need to show, speaking of the congregation, we need to show them what showing up looks like. And then it's got to be the people who have grasped it who become the leaders, not the paid staff. You have to bet the farm on lay people, not on the staff. When lay people get it, those that aren't paid for ministry, but show up to volunteer, your volunteers, when they get it, they start living their lives with passion. Just like we have to believe in the emerging adults, we have to believe in our middle-aged adults. They drive this process. And then you've got to risk them doing it, which has got a lot messier than you setting up programs and controlling the curriculum. You've got to do what Jesus did. He said to his disciples, I'm going to go away now. It's yours. As leaders, we have to believe it's our people's church. We serve, but we are replaceable. Ultimately, we're just there to help them live their calling, whatever life stage they're in. I love that heart that he has. It doesn't matter if they're a middle schooler, a high schooler, a young adult, an old adult, a really old adult. We're there as vocational ministers to help them live out their life calling. If they don't know what their life calling is, help them figure it out.
Yeah, it seems like his. If I'm hearing things correctly, his perspective is not so much about this is how we're going to seek to reach emerging adults.
Yeah.
His mindset is, this is how we're going to seek to reach people. Yeah. And amongst all of the people that they're reaching, it's hitting a chord with millennials in a big way, which is probably why they have grown in that generation so much.
Yeah.
It's hitting a chord because so much of culture has just gone with these stereotypes that, however valid or invalid they may be, they've gone with these stereotypes and just not given a lot of credence to the potential that the millennials have.
Yeah, I would agree with that. When I hear him speak about, I don't hear him speak about ministry to millennials, and that's part of it. We're having this conversation about ministry to millennials, and he's like, "Look, I don't do ministry to millennials. I just do ministry. I mean, I'm about advancing the gospel and making disciples, and I don't care what age you are.
Right.
If you can understand the gospel and believe the gospel, you can advance it, and you can teach others to do the same." Okay. You know.
So, Rob, what would you say to the person out there who, the average youth worker, youth loving person, or youth pastor, or whoever that's out there in a typical church that is looking at what may be a dismal, if any, ministry to emerging adults? What would you say to them about, this is where you need to get started?
Well, I would say, first you've got to question where's your heart for not just millennials, but for all of God's people. And once you've got the heart, what is the mission that God's calling you to? And what is everybody's place in that mission? Not just the staff, but the lay people. And when you think about the lay people, stop thinking, okay, well, I'm going to ask the elderly to do this. I'm going to ask the young adults to do this. Just what are we asking God's people to do? Right? Now, there are certain jobs that we say, okay, look, you have to be 16 years older or, to do this, 16 years older, because we're requiring you to operate the espresso machine and we don't want anybody to get burned by the steam. And we find that 16 years of age or older is old enough to, really do that. Now, right. I get that, right? But don't have an expectation that a 24-year-old can't adequately grasp and understand the themes of the Bible and share them with somebody. Don't assume that because of their age and their inexperience that they can't be taught. Don't assume that because of their flakiness, even if they are flaky, that you can't coach them to be less flaky, because we've got to remember, we were all that age at one point.
Yeah. We've got to stop looking at them as they'll have their place someday.
Exactly.
And start realizing they need a place now.
Yeah. And you know, and the best way for somebody to learn sometimes is by doing. Yeah. A little trial by fire couldn't hurt, as long as you're doing it by love, you know. I had an uncle, I had this Spider-Man bicycle, and my uncle's job was to teach me to ride it without training wheels. And there's a lot of ways he could have done it. He could have slowly raised the training wheels a little at a time. He could have taken them off and held the back of the seat while I pedaled, you know. But instead, he took the take me to the top of a hill and let me go route.
Mm.
And I crashed at the bottom of that hill. But you know what? Man, I could ride the heck out of a bike today.
That's how my youth pastor taught me to ski.
First
day, took me down a bunny slope once to teach me how to snowplow. Then my second lift was up to the summit. And he and another friend of mine that were skiing that day said, "See you at the bottom."
Yeah.
And I was jumping moguls by the end of the day.
You know, when I preached my first sermon at church from the pulpit on a main Sunday service, A, it wasn't a church I attended, and B, I was not in vocational ministry. But what happened is the senior pastor of the church said, "Hey, man, you seem pretty passionate about that. You want to preach?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, you'll be fine." and he let me up there, and I preached. And I preached on building your house on the rock, because the storms of life are going to come. Not if they come, but when they come. If you've built your house on the sand, your house is going to fall. So what does it look like to build your house on the rock? And afterwards, I was like, "Man, I hope I did okay." And he's like, "Man, that was awesome. That was a great job." And not that it's about me, but he was like, "Man, I could tell that God really put that passion in your heart, and it came across, and well done." And so I was like, "Wow." But if he hadn't given me that start, I don't know if I'd be doing what I'm doing today.
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of sums up our emerging adult ministry emphasis. I think there might be some people who have caught the titles for these last few weeks and have kind of dug in thinking, all right, they're going to give me some programming gems. But, if that's you.
Here's the gem. Don't.
Yeah, we're fully aware that we've left you wanting. Yeah. And we're not apologetic about that, because we're talking about generations that are less and less interested in your programming, your marketing. Yeah. They want relationships. So
absolutely.
Get out there. Engage them, show up, and show them the way, and release some of the keys to the kingdom to them.
Yep. And if you want to reach out to us and give us your feedback, ask questions, that kind of thing, feel free to email us podcast@eclectic.com. That's EKKLECTIC. Or you can, go to our website, eclectic.com. Once again, EKKLECTIC. You can also reach us on Twitter, tweet out to us. We're @eclectic. And on Facebook, visit facebook.com/IamEclectic. Hey, we want to thank you for listening to this series. We really appreciate you sticking out there. If this is the first one you've heard, we encourage you to go back and listen to all four parts of this Emerging Adult series.
Or even go back further if you've not listened to other podcasts and catch up with where we've been.
Or you can just unsubscribe from every other podcast and just give us a listen. I'm Rob.
I'm Scott.
Thanks for listening. Stay eclectic.